welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it. And, you know, there's nothing to complain about, right? Like, everything's been good. Like, Survivor Series went off without a hitch.
We're not going to be able to take this break next year. We're going to have to... This is clearly not the moment in time to take a week off.
I get that. But, you know, my family kind of wants me in town to have dinner with them.
I get that, but... Your podcast family has so much to talk about now.
Yeah, but it was Thanksgiving week and you're supposed to be thankful and happy, and I was not happy or thankful that week.
Okay. Let me try and break this down.
Okay, break it down.
As I see it. So, we have had, since the SummerSlam...
Uh-huh.
We've had this Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton thing.
Yes.
And that's, you know, going on. And then it kind of ends around about the same time John Cena comes back. And the entire world goes, oh, they're just going to stick Cena back and everything.
Right.
And WWE goes, no. We're putting Cena over here with the world heavyweight.
Yeah.
And, you know.
We're keeping them separate.
And then, you know, this whole storyline with Big Show is if this is going to continue. And then the Unified Championship thing happens, and you're like, this is like when I was a kid, and mom said I had 10 minutes to clean my room, and I did nothing for 9.5 minutes, and then just pushed stuff under my bed.
Naturally.
When I heard her walking up the stairs.
I did the same
thing. So I can be like, I cleaned my room, you can now see some floor.
Yeah.
And I didn't clean my room.
Right, you know.
And no, you're just putting John Cena back in the title scene. Like,
right. Oh, no, you're pushing things over and claiming progress.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's what happened here.
Yeah. It's like a conversation me and you were having just before we started recording the podcast. We were talking about the Star Trek Into Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And we were confused as to why, you know, it would get great reviews and yet some of the Star Trek fans absolutely deemed it crap.
Yes.
And, you know, I could understand that because Benedict Cumberbatch was all Benedict Cumberbatchy, you mm-hmm. know, and then you were talking about how they spent all this time before the movie came out. It's like, no, he's a bad guy, but he's not Khan. We
right.
promise you, he's not Khan. And then you watch the movie and spoiler, he's Khan.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of the same thing here. Like they spent all this effort with the whole Del Rio thing for 2 pay-per-views. Like, see, he's doing something separate. We're going to take him in a different direction, and he has nothing to do with this authority thing, and nothing to do with the WWE Championship, and then they're like, nope.
Yeah. You have a problem with this, Chris?
I have a problem in the sense that I'm pretty sure the last time we had a John and Cena, John and Cena.
Let it slide, but carry on.
Last time we had, then my brain caught me after I said it, and like, that's not right. Last time we had a John Cena and Randy Orton facing each other on a pay-per-view, I'm very certain that it was titled the last time these guys would ever fight for the championship.
Really?
Ever. If memory serves me correct, that's what it was billed as. And it stayed that way for a pretty long time. And we were all happy. And, you know, CM Punk happened and Daniel Bryan happened and we were all giddy about that. And then... Now this, so there's that.
Once in a lifetime, Chris, that's...
I understand. There's that aspect to it, and then all these feelings return.
Uh-huh.
And there are feelings of being burnt out on these two in the main event, always, for the longest time, for years, this is what it was. They would take short breaks or whatever, or someone would get injured, and then they would return. Like, I've seen John Cena beat Randy Orton so many times that I don't need to see it happen again. Because let's be honest, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, I would say at least a 90% chance John Cena is going to win this.
Mm-hmm. Because they want
the other 10% is shenanigans.
They want to end out the year with Cena holding the belt.
Right.
Da 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 da. Now, okay. Being fair, I kind of got back full-time into wrestling super, you know, on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, it was WrestleMania 26.
Mm-hmm.
It was before that, but it was, you know, a little before that time. So the bulk of 2009, 2008, 2007
mm-hmm.
with Cena and Orton going at each other forever and for always.
Yeah.
I missed a lot of that. So I don't think I'm personally as burnt out on Cena Orton as the rest of the world. I mean, I get it. But the amount of time it's been since that's happened has been long enough for me to not.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it feels kind of like a flashback. You know, like as soon as this happens, you have these. You know, if you were a fan and you followed it closely back then, it's like all of a sudden you have a resurgence of those same feelings without even seeing a single match.
Yes.
You know, and yeah, that might be a little unfair, you know, because it has been a while since then, and you know, but then those characters aren't really that much different than they were back then.
That's true. You know,
and their ring work certainly is the same.
Let's go ahead and real quick throw out, because always this would be a really good time to turn Cena heel.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh like that. But any time is a perfect time for that.
I know.
That's something we've established time and time again.
I know.
We had this conversation anytime John Cena starts a new feud with somebody.
As what I'm saying is, like, because I saw that crop up a lot for this one. And yes, it would be. And yes, it would be a little bit better than the average time, but there's not much more to say on it than that. Yes. This would be a really good time because he defaces on me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and done. But that also leads into, no, it's still seen as the face and Orton's the heel.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that does lead a lot of like, oh, remember when it was exactly like this a while back?
Yeah.
It's still exactly like this.
Essentially, like, yeah.
But
they dressed it up a little differently with the unification storyline.
I've honestly had some time to think about it, and I do not have a problem with this. In the long run, in the big picture of things, I am very pro.
Interesting thought, though. I just had this thought, like, you know, pretty much we've had these nonstop John Cena, Randy Orton storylines for all that time. And you think about it, we never got a Cena and Orton WrestleMania match.
Mm-mm.
Which I felt like, you know, as big as, you know, the company is on those two guys, that would have happened.
I mean, they had a triple threat with Triple H once, right? Those two guys and Triple H.
Yeah, because that was a butt to try to beat in WWE 2K14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, I guess there's that, fine.
But they've never had this guy versus that guy.
Right. So why are you okay with it?
Okay. This is assuming.
Convince me not to burn your apartment down.
Okay.
All
right.
Convince me not to chase you with a pitchfork.
Let's see. First of all, this is assuming that at the end of the day, there will be a unified champion.
Okay.
Okay. This is, if some sort of shenanigans or the worst possible outcome, they switch belts. Both belts are hanging up and they each grab the other one.
I saw that on the internet.
Cena
tonight
can have the W one and Randy. No.
Because then that literally goes back to what they were.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's just really cementing the already pretty cemented status quo that this match is portraying.
It's re-cementing a giant block of cement.
And here's the thing. Like, okay, they should have one belt hanging above the ring that should be the unified belt. That would make very logical sense.
Mm-hmm.
I could totally see a very interesting storyline where one belt but not the other is grabbed, and does that mean that person won? Or does the story continue?
Mm-hmm.
In some future, not in this one. No. Not in this one because of, I'm already half expecting this. Maybe in like a tag team ladder match where only one belt is grabbed.
Ooh, yeah. Or
each team grabs one of the belts, you know?
That would be interesting, yeah.
It'd be interesting.
And then they would be forced to be tag teams with each other.
Exactly. Some of the sort of shenanigans. I would totally be.
Yeah, I could buy into that more than I could this situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, not in this situation, but that's something that could happen down the road. Okay. First and foremost, this is not happening at WrestleMania.
I'm okay with that.
You, like, as close as we are to WrestleMania, you got to imagine, like, there was a talk of, like, let's have Cena and Orton unify the belts at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And that would be their, that would end WrestleMania 30. Yeah. So, that's not happening.
No.
Part of the reason I'm okay with this match. Also, this means that there will only be one heavyweight world title at WrestleMania. Which means the winner of the Royal Rumble is going against that guy.
Oh, yeah. That adds importance to the Rumble.
The Rumble. The guy who wins this match, in December, will not be in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Because he will be defending it
that night.
That night. Very possibly against the other guy in a sort of rematch.
True. You know? Yeah, we are one pay-per-view away from Rumble, yeah.
Which means that at least one of those guys will not, cannot be in the title scene at WrestleMania.
Jeez, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Which gives room for all the other people, things that we want. They have right now written themselves into a situation
where that I hope that they know what they're doing. Like, they know the corner they're putting themselves in.
And that's the thing, is, like, they have to be thinking about the Rumble at this point in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And which means they are thinking about WrestleMania at this point in the game. This is the time where, you know, at the creative table, WrestleMania is being heavily discussed.
And right now, if you really think about it, especially with momentum and stuff, there's only really, like, a handful of guys you could see them having to win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know?
And, you know,
that handful of guys, actually, kind of, I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, is, like, you know, I haven't done any research or actually prior consideration to asking this question, but how many people have had a rise between January and WrestleMania where you looked at them in January, like, no way they're getting a WrestleMania match, and they rose in popularity quickly and fast enough to get a WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Where something like that happened. You know, and that's a very loosely based question where you can, like, oh, that guy was popular enough or wasn't popular enough or et cetera, et cetera. But you kind of, you know, we do the WrestleMania card every year where we, like, look at, you know, what we think next year's WrestleMania will look like. And it's incredibly wrong because of who unexpectedly rises in popularity.
Yeah.
Who falls out of grace and, you know.
Ziggler.
Yeah. But that kind of stuff. But if we made a WrestleMania card today, it'd be a lot closer. You know, not saying any of the matches would be right,
but
a lot more of the people who were on the card would be
right. It would
be
in the ballpark. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, this is the kind of time where you kind of see who is where, and that will start to land some WrestleMania things.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing, is that the scope of WrestleMania and the scope of the road to WrestleMania is drastically different.
Yeah, with the whole unification thing, yeah.
That also kind of frees up, you know, this Intercontinental title to definitely come back and be the second biggest title, which will really be taking the place of the World Championship.
It would be,
because this is huge, you know, elephant in the room where, like, no, we can't acknowledge that this belt is definitely second fiddle.
Yeah.
You know?
But now we absolutely can.
Yeah, this belt is second fiddle, but...
Because, you know, they refer to, you know, the Intercontinental belt so many times as, you know, the stepping stone, championship.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of people who've held that have moved on to great things. You know, they always talk about that, you know, on WWE programming, so it's not like a dirty secret like they try to do with World Heavyweight. Like, they don't really like talking about it being...
And it's this kind of thing where they can give it to people and be like, don't say we never gave you a world championship. We gave you that, and you're like, you did, but you didn't. Listen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you go ahead and put the, what's it called? The other one, Dean Ambrose's belt.
U.S.
The U.S. title. You got a new guy who you want to make a splash. Xavier Woods being today's example. You stick that belt on him.
Yeah.
You know? You have this very clear three-tiered system. Mm-hmm. Champion, mid-card, new guy kind of thing.
Yeah. That seems a lot more organized than what they've got currently.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
rather than, you know, us, everyone pretending that the U.S. belt and the IC belt are on the same level, and, you know, that even being even more delusional as to expecting everyone to believe that the heavyweight belt and the WWE belt is the same.
Right.
You know. Yeah, very much so.
Do I wish it was these two guys, you know, doing it?
Yeah, not really.
Not really. It's, in a perfect world, you know, it would... In a perfect world, it would be CM Punk, Daniel Bryan. Always.
Right. Or at least involving one of them, at the very least.
Yeah.
Or, you know, involve some more people in the match.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have two guys in a TLC match.
Yeah.
You can add some more people to it.
But honestly, if having it be Cena and Orton at TLC, helps to have a slot for Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, I'll take it, you know?
Well, yeah, like, I think that if Orton wins this by whatever shenanigan or whatever, mm-hmm. I fully believe that, you know, Daniel Bryan's going to be the one that wins Royal Rumble, and it'll be those two guys at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And then Cena is free to do whatever.
Undertaker.
Probably Undertaker, yeah. Now, if Cena wins it, I don't know. Then I say either CM Punk or, you know, a returning person that enters in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Could still be Undertaker, technically. You know, mm-hmm. he could return in the Rumble and win it and go against Cena. I don't know. I think it opens it up a little bit wider if Cena wins. Or it's a little bit more unpredictable.
Who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, they don't, you don't, you know, you really don't know where they're going to put Cena. And especially now that, you know, speculation is that we probably won't get Rock at 30.
Right. Honestly, as, like, with having the stuff happen at 29, that it did where, at this time, you could have called, you could have set your watch to the way the feud was going to play out.
Yeah.
You know? What I really want right now is unexpectedness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I would love, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Rumble this year, because I feel like I got a little cheated on the Rumble last year, because Cena was
going to
win the
it was, last yeah, year. We really knew how that was going, mm-hmm. and they didn't even try to throw a wrench in those predictions at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it was still a good match, because it's a Rumble match.
Because it's the Rumble, and the Rumble always gets its free Rumble bump.
Yeah, and
up.
I mean, there was two moments in particular that really made this Rumble special, like us actually being surprised that Jericho was in it,
exactly,
and being even more surprised when Goldust showed up, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, the stuff with Cody was really great, and it made that Royal Rumble special. And then once all that was done, okay, we settle in and you kind of know that Cena's going to win.
There's a lot of going through the motions there.
Right. So. Can we just talk for a brief moment about the voting as to what we're going to call this new unified championship situation?
Okay.
First of all, they gave us three options. I don't remember them off the top of my head.
They are unified all title, undisputed WWE, undisputed world championship.
All three of those are effing terrible. They were bad. Here's the thing. Why not just call it the WWE Championship? Because you know they're not going to get rid of that belt design. You know that's the one that they're going to stick with.
That's after they did all that.
After they did all that, and this is the new one that, mm-hmm. you know, they put off forever, and The Rock debuted. And if it's something that The Rock debuted, it's not something that WWE is going to give up anytime soon.
Right.
So it's going to look like that. I don't foresee them making any changes to it.
Yeah.
If there is, like, a one belt. Now, if he, you know, if the person walks around with both belts, that's a different story. You know, the infamous video footage of Chris Jericho kissing both belts back mm-hmm. and forth, back and forth. If you got a situation like that, then fine, whatever. Then you can call them the undisputed or unified or whatever.
Yeah.
But if they're going to go with one belt, you know they're going to go with that one. So you might as well just call it the WWE Championship. And I think, I don't even remember what they voted on.
The unified title.
The unified WWE champ?
No, because it's unified title and then undisputed WWE, undisputed world.
So the unified championship.
The unified title, or the unified championship is what it's called right now.
I think if it's something that they stick with for a while, I think they're just going to drop it and call it the WWE Championship.
Honestly,
that's what they, because, you know, they had the whole thing with CM Punk and Cena, where, you know, they both were champion, and then mm-hmm. for the next couple months, they kept calling it the Undisputed Champion.
Yeah.
And then eventually they just dropped it.
Right.
I have a feeling they're going to do that with this. So, and, you know, this griping is for nothing. It just, both of those, are all three of those choices were terrible.
Yeah.
And I see why the voting was so close, and I can see why, because it's, you know, picking between
six of one,
sandwiches.
Half a dozen of another.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fair enough. I mean,
I don't know, I just had to get that off my chest.
I mean, yeah, honestly, it kind of harkens to, yeah, this is the championship, and it's the WWE's championship, you know?
Right.
That's what you're champion of.
Yeah.
Is the WWE. And you can, you know, dress it up.
And let's be honest, like, the World Heavyweight Belt is, you know, they to be honest with you, they kept it around this long because of, you know, nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Because of WCW and, you know, the history of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's been, what, 10, no, 10, 11 years since they bought them.
Yeah.
It's kind of time to, you know, they can go ahead and, you know, sweep it on the rug now. Like, I'm not saying, like, completely forget it, because, I mean, they have all this this catalog of footage that they're going to shell out for as much money as they can.
I think the question here, for me at least, is what do you do with SmackDown? Because more than ever, SmackDown is now a B show.
Yeah, because there's no champion of that show.
Right.
Unless whoever's champion shows up on both shows all the time. And it goes back to the way SmackDown was in its original form before the big split.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's really, like, our notion of SmackDown now is, like, the remnants of the split. There's not really one there, but it kind of is. Mm-hmm. You know? But now, yeah, it's absolutely the B-show. And I have a feeling it's basically just going to continue to be that unless they make it the Intercontinental Championship show. Which I would be okay with.
I would be okay with that. Because
that would build that up, and, you know, they could still acknowledge that this is, you know... Then they would, like... Then if they would acknowledge that the IC belt is the B belt,
mm-hmm.
that would also mean that they would have to recognize it as the B show. SmackDown. Which is a fact. It is what it is, but they don't like to admit
that. That's the other elephant in the room, is that...
Yeah.
But
if they just make SmackDown a... an extension of Raw,
mm-hmm.
kind of like what it was originally. It was just a continuation of whatever storyline has been going on Raw. It just happens on SmackDown, and you get some other matches from guys that usually they don't have time to put on Raw.
But those matches have started getting pushed on to main event.
Right.
So, I mean, and, you know, the thing with SmackDown right now is, as you say, every time it's like, oh, I should really be watching SmackDown. I see what happened on SmackDown to remind me, like, oh, I don't want to watch SmackDown.
Oh, yeah. Like
an extended puke joke.
Yes, an extended puke joke. What was it? The week before that was an arm wrestling thing between mm-hmm. Cena. And then, you know, a few months ago, it was a snake charmer. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to watch SmackDown now. Like, this does not encourage me to watch SmackDown.
That's the thing. Nothing encouraging. I don't feel like I've missed things by watching SmackDown.
Like, I'll read one or two spoilers during the week, and I was like, oh, that'll be cool. I probably should watch that. And I never really do, and it really doesn't matter one way or the other.
Right.
Because usually, like, if it's really good, it's going to get repeated on Raw. Now, if it's really bad, it's probably going to still get repeated on Raw, as we saw with the puke thing. But yeah. Still.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, story-wise, it'll get repeated on Raw, because they're not going to let you be confused on Raw.
Yeah.
If there is a surprisingly good match. And that's what SmackDown should be. Mm-hmm. SmackDown should be, you know, guys like Xavier Woods, you know. Yeah, you got to woo the crowd on Raw. You want to show people what you got. You have 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
25 minutes on SmackDown. Do it.
I think, and also what would help that, is if they got rid of, you know, the full-on replay of a complete segment from Raw on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, they will replay the entire main event on SmackDown. They've done it more often than they really should.
Yeah, no.
And I can't imagine how Sci-Fi would be okay with that, you know? Like, give us original content, come on. But then again, they're still getting decent ratings, so they're not going to complain that much. I don't know. But if I was in the shoes of Sci-Fi, as, you know, a network executive or something, that would anger me that we were getting... leftovers.
You're paying for first run material, and you're getting syndicated material. You're getting
reruns. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're getting reruns that are less than a week old.
Yeah. So I would cut those out. I mean, sure, you can remind people what happened on Raw, or you cut it down to like a short video package or something.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not, you know.
But I mean,
on principle, I'm totally opposed against the whatever. I watched Raw. I don't want to rewatch Raw.
Yeah.
But I'm totally fine with those video packages, especially if you would actually video package them.
Yeah, and not just hit replay.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I think what they need to do with SmackDown is they just need to accept that it's the B show. Fine.
Yes.
I would like to see them treat it more like an NXT type thing where it is almost like a I don't want to say developmental league, but it's in between. Well, like, and there's an actual ranking, and I've said this before, like, there's an actual ranking system, and once you reach a certain part, then you can move up to Raw, and then whoever's at the bottom of Raw can move down to SmackDown or its place, or something like that.
Well, the thing with NXT, you know, and there's a lot of, like, we don't need a, you know, another NXT, because we have NXT.
Yeah, but it's only being shown on Hulu Plus.
It is. But the big thing for me is, like, NXT isn't necessarily, quote-unquote, canon.
No. Like,
stuff gets, people get repackaged, people get, you know, that's probably that kind of why stuff.
It is not on American television. Like, it's on the internet for people who really want to watch it, but, you know, it's not on American television, and that's why they can get away with not going with canon.
But that's, you know, that's what I would like to see SmackDown be. Yeah, these are the guys, these are the characters we're really shooting for, you know?
Yeah, this is actual canon, or introducing new characters, or mm-hmm. something like that. Like, yeah, it's a, if the way I'm envisioning, I think that would be a really good proving ground for stuff that they're trying, some new stuff, or people that they're wanting to build.
Right. That you main event is kind of its own little thing over here. Mm. You know, it kind of has had no effect on anything.
No.
It's equivalent of super. It's, you know.
I still don't know where Ion is on my cable. I don't know what channel it is at all.
I don't know what channel it is. I watch it on the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've totally lost my train of thought.
Talking about main event.
Main event's done nothing. It's superstars. It's honestly superstars with a little bit bigger names, you know? They've tried to get you to watch main event by actually putting, I don't think Ziggler or Ryback or even Curtis Axel would appear on Superstars.
No. Which, that's what Superstars started with when they were on WGN. Yeah. But then it just went down and down and down.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you know, you got good matches, but they're not necessarily names that are going to make people want to tune in.
Right.
Exclusively for those names.
Right.
As much as I love Chris Masters, I know he's not going to draw that much of a crowd.
Well, so much of those, when I watched Superstars, so much of it was repeats of what happened, just so you know what happened on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, those things, like, I don't know how many people watch Superstars or Main Event that don't watch Raw.
Yeah.
And if this was a more Attitude Era situation where they had, like, Superstars for the kiddies, where, you know, I, as a fatherly wrestling fan, want to enjoy it with my son, but don't want to watch women being kicked, you know, or whatever, you know, Attitude Era or shock value thing. Yeah. But we can watch, quote-unquote, good, wholesome Superstars over here.
Yeah.
And then little Jim Bob over there, that's the kid's name.
Jim Bob. Okay, you're sticking with it.
Can still kind of know what's going on, you know, so he'll be excited enough to be like, let's buy WrestleMania, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, I get that, but it's not like that right now. Okay. There's nothing on Raw that, you know, and if there is, they show it in full giant extended replays,
mm-hmm.
you know? SmackDown and Raw are sanitized to the same level, is what I'm saying. And so, that's, you know, there's no, I don't know of anybody who watches exclusively SmackDown or Superstars or Main Event that doesn't also watch Raw. So everybody, or at least 90%+ of the audience is rewatching material that they've watched.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. To do something with SmackDown, that's, and that all again stems from the title, what are they going to do now?
Right, like, yeah, there's this big ripple effect mm-hmm. that we're not sure WWE really knows what they're going to do with. We hope that they do.
We hope that they do.
But we've learned, but we've seen enough in the
let's
past.
Let's say that simultaneously, the WWE forgot that Miz had a movie coming out and turned him heel.
Yeah.
Had to return him face for a week and then turned him heel again.
Yep. For what reason? Like, kayfabe reason? No idea. Like, we know the reason behind the scenes, and that's it.
And it's like, I don't even want to say the words because they, but it, yeah, they forgot that
I don't know promoting how else, a movie? Yeah, I don't know how else to explain it, yeah, other than say that they forgot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. So
I don't know if they did or what, but it sounds and feels like they forgot.
Yes.
Speaking of forgetting, or wishing I could, Sin Cara is back.
But it's kinda. But it's not.
That's what I want to talk about. Okay. Joel, you watched weren't watching Raw with us. You watched it later.
Mm-hmm.
Were you on Twitter at all? Or did you go back and
look? I learned post what I think you're about to tell me.
Okay. So here's the thing. Okay, Sin Cara comes out, and first of all, yeah, Sin Cara missed some spots and those, you know, and then but nothing overly glaringly badly botched like what we're used to. So we're like, okay, well, this is kind of a tame Sin Cara. Alright, and he hasn't injured himself yet, so something's up, obviously. Yeah. He looks a little taller. He looks a little thicker. Maybe, you know, maybe he sprained his toe and he has been sitting on the couch for a while like he sprained his finger. I don't know. And then you got a closer look and be like, oh, he's got a shoulder tattoo. I don't remember that. That must be new.
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw a picture on the internet of Hunico, a side picture of his arm, and like, huh, he's got a tattoo just like Sin Cara. Interesting. 20 minutes later, after this match ended against Alberto Del Rio, I see a retweet from Sin Cara, because I don't follow Sin Cara on Twitter. I see a retweet from Sin Cara, and it's something in Spanish, and then it's a link to a Foursquare. I click on it, and that's in English, and it's, oh, Sin Cara just checked into a restaurant in Mexico.
Yeah.
They were in Oklahoma City. Unless Vince's plane is really fast and for some reason loaned it to Sin Cara to get to this restaurant. What?
Yeah.
Like, first, okay, yeah. The shoulder tattoo was a dead giveaway right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what they're aiming for or if they're just completely ignoring it or what. But of course, leave it to Sin Cara to actually botch the fact that he's not there.
Well, okay.
Or, okay.
Let's go through the saga that has been Sin Cara.
Yes.
Sin Cara, I believe was Triple H's first hire.
He was.
So it's kind of a, you know.
He was a big deal. It was a big press conference.
Yes.
Big star in Mexico.
He's a huge star in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They
even acknowledged that they're changing his name.
Yes.
Like, in the press conference. Like, he was Mystico, now he's Sin Cara.
Is he Mystico? I thought Mystico was the other one. Was.
No, they were both Mystico at one point. He's the one that had it.
He was Mystico. And then.
And then he was the one that became a giant superstar.
Hunico was. What was his name?
I forget.
Okay.
But I do know it was Mystico, but the company that Sin Cara was with at the time basically got the rights to
Mystico.
Mystico, and he got that, and that's when he became a giant star in Mexico. So he is the Mystico in Mexico.
So,
which is a weird sentence to say.
There's a lot of hubbub about what went on backstage, who agreed to what, but Sin Cara was apparently having like a lot of refusal to learn English.
He did not want to be Indian developmental for very long, and he wasn't.
Right. And you know, he was, you know, the John Cena level or more person in Mexico.
Yes.
Like, he had this big crowd. So, while, yeah, there's a lot of, like, you know, stuff that you can throw him for being egotistical and stuff, it comes from a place.
Yes.
But now, you know, but he doesn't seem to have brought a lot of that. And I don't know what their numbers are in Mexico, you know? But there's a question about how much of his crowd he's brought with him.
Yeah. It's noted that he does good as far as merchandise.
Yes, and that's the thing, is the Sin Cara character still seems to be very successful for WWE, but despite the character not having been on television for so long.
Yeah, that's got definitely has well, that, to
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's not been on there, but he's still doing fairly well in sales.
Yeah.
It is a big enough character, and let's face it, it's a mask. You know, it's a complete face-covering mask.
Yes.
That they have already put on another person.
Before, yeah.
And he was Sin Cara for a while before they did the twin thing.
Yep. And like, that really started because of, though it was a SmackDown taping, and that Sin Cara was just not clicking with, I think it was Heath Slater, mm-hmm. and just, they could not get a good match, and so they sent him home, and they put Unico, put a mask on him. He hadn't debuted as Unico. I think he was still developmental talent at that point. He was just there. Yeah. They put the mask on him, and that's the match they used for SmackDown that week. And then they kind of developed a storyline from that. Right. It's like, oh, he's acting different, you know.
Right.
Or he's being a bad guy. It's weird.
But, you know, if I were, you know, I can totally see that, you know, Unico never has sold the, you know, merchandise that Sin Cara has. And for all the flops and failures and complaints and disgruntlement about Sin Cara, Triple H has made an action figure with his first hire that is selling.
Yeah.
You know, he has made a successful character.
Yes.
And they can, and the way that character has shaped up and turned out, they can really make anybody that character. So, I really don't see any long-term negative effects of, for all intents and purposes,
I don't either.
This is Sin Cara now.
Yeah, I don't see, I don't have any bad feelings about this, or I'm not, you know, angry about it or anything. I just thought it was, you know, funny that Sin Cara, the original Sin Cara, completely botched this.
You don't think he might have done that on purpose?
Either he botched it, or he did it because he was angry. But going from what I've seen of him, it's more likely for me to believe that he botched it.
Yeah.
Because that's just how he's been. And yeah, and I honestly, I would love for Unico to be the new Sin Cara, because I like Unico. Now, granted, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, he really wasn't that good. He had some missed spots that were kind of glaring. Well, they're sort of glaring if you knew what to look for, kind of thing. Then there was that one over the rope jump that completely missed Del Rio. That was pretty glaring, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have kind of chalked that up to, he's trying to completely change his moveset to replicate the original Sin Cara.
Right.
So, I mean, and that was, you know, his first night doing it. So it's not going to be polished.
But overall,
Unico's ring work is so much better in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, let's look at what he was comparing to, you know?
Well, yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, my other option is no more Sin Cara. You know, like, we tried it, we failed it, move on along. Which I would not be against.
No.
But I totally understand if you're selling toys of this guy who has been on the shelf for 6 months.
Apparently what had happened was when their most recent European tour that they were on, apparently there was a surprising spike in their selling Sin Cara merchandise. So that's kind of what sparred this. But they still weren't really sold on getting the original Sin Cara back, especially after the whole spray finger thing, on top of, you know, all the other backstage stuff that we've heard, you know, for the past couple years.
Right.
From what I understand, his contract is up soon. And I'm hearing today that Unico as Sin Cara is kind of a temporary thing right now, and they're more likely, there's some developmental, there's one guy in particular in developmental, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, he's in NXT, that they're considering to be the new permanent Sin Cara. And Unico is just kind of like doing that right now.
Really?
Presumably awkward.
After the tattoo thing, like, that's the thing. It's like,
unless they want to do another Sin Cara versus Sin Cara thing, which, no. Please don't do that again.
It could be on SmackDown.
And let me be honest. The Sin Cara versus Sin Cara match, I forget what pay-per-view was on, it actually wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't.
And see, that's the thing. Like, and I think that has a lot to do with Sin Cara refusing to go to developmental because he, you know, the reports were that he felt it was beneath him.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be giving his status, but you have to learn how to do things the WWE way.
Right.
And their ring work is a lot different than what he's used to. And there's guys that he's just not going to be able to, you know, get a passable match out of. You know, basically you have to face off against guys who know how to fight against a Lucha Libre style, or is a great technician that can adjust. That's why, you know, the good Sin Cara matches that we saw were against Chavo, against Del Rio every now and then.
Daniel Bryan.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. It was a match on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it was Sin Cara versus, and it's the first thing. It might not be the first thing, but it was the biggest thing that truly sold me on Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And sold me on Sin Cara for a very long time.
Yeah.
And just to reiterate back from what happened, you know, before, that's what SmackDown should be for. Like, yeah. You know, I watched this match. It was a pay-per-view quality match between these two guys on free SmackDown television.
And it was before either of these guys were on pay-per-views.
Right.
Yeah.
But this was a thing where I was like, when either one of their music hit after that, I was ready for it. I was excited about it because of that one very specific match.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, it's just the only problem is Sin Cara can't face Daniel Bryan every single time.
Right.
Chavo is in TNA right now, so he can't do that. Like, and, you know, they're both faces, so he can't go against Rey Mysterio or he's wrestled Alberto Del Rio about as many times as you possibly freaking can.
Sheamus will put that to the test.
I want to argue about that, but you're so right.
I know. I know.
So that's the thing. Like, I think that's what hurt him is his was right out from the beginning when he was refusing to go developmental and learn how to incorporate what he already knows and kind of adjust to the WWE way.
No, I agree.
So I think he was kind of doomed from the start for that. And yeah, he had good matches against guys who were able to adjust, or guys who knew how that style was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know what? There's a lot of reports that they're saying that his contract's going to get terminated here pretty soon. Then again, they said that back whenever they originally put Hunico in the Sin Cara mask.
Right.
You know, so I don't know how much, how many eggs I want to put in that basket right now. But if it happens, I'm okay with that.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, I was kind of half expecting Sin Cara to be, like, just kind of slowly phased out and brushed away and never talked about again. Or, at best, kind of, you know, forever being a C-grade Yoshitatsu-level kind of guy.
That's what I assumed he was going to be at this point, after the whole finger thing.
Yeah.
And even during the finger thing, he was, you know, he was pretty much jobbing back, you know, at that point.
But if there is this spike, it seems like Sin Cara started. How likely do you think because we had all assumed at his debut and for a long time this would eventually lead to a mask versus mask retirement match for Rey.
I think they really want that. I think that's part of the reason why they went forward with somebody else under the mask. I don't know if it's going to be a retirement mask anymore because, I mean, how willing are they going to be to have this big retirement match for Rey be all that meaningful against a guy who's a replacement, you know, and he's only been a replacement since December.
Yeah, we've said that was going to happen at WrestleMania.
Right, yeah.
It doesn't have to happen
at WrestleMania. No, it doesn't. But they really did want that at WrestleMania for a while.
I mean, and it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, is this a one last ditch thing? Let's put, you know, let's really smash Sin Cara in their faces for a while one last time and see if it takes, you know? Or is it, this could move, you know, to SummerSlam or to, you know, or to next to WrestleMania 31, you know,
if they wanted to. Personally, I think it would be a much better thing once they find who is going to be the permanent Sin Cara. If they want to stick with Hunico, then they probably can go ahead and get started on it now. They can do it sooner. If they want to just do Hunico for now, and then once the next guy's ready, put him in, then, wait a while. That's something you don't really want to rush. But then again, you don't know how much longer Rey has physically.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Well, that's a big time will tell kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, for now, Sin Cara seems to be... It's not over yet. How did that happen?
I don't know.
So, yep, that's my thing.
It should have been over. But, I mean, as long as that guy with that attitude and his terrible, terrible botches, as long as we're done with that, I'm okay with what they do with the Sin Cara character for now. Because Sin Cara is apparently Batman, and he's just a symbol.
Fair enough, yep.
Yep, he has become a symbol. I'm assuming Robin is going to be the new Sin Cara.
Okay.
But he's not Dick Grayson, it's his name. His name is just Robin. Yeah. So basically, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to be the new Sin Cara, which I would be completely
I totally get it. He is a symbol for Triple H, has good ideas, and is capable of running this company.
I was completely BSing, but you went ahead and took it. Okay.
But no, look at it. It works.
All right, fine.
It works. Triple H needs this to be a success.
Oh, dear God. If Sin Cara starts talking with the Batman voice in Spanish, I'm going to lose my brain.
Oh, we're so back on the Sin Cara train. Choo-choo.
What happened, Sin Cara? Why did all these people attack me?
Lo siento.
That's really all Spanish I know.
I was going to say, like, I could see it in your face. You're like, oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do Batman voice in Spanish. And you're like, oh, no.
I mean, all I know is...
Tengo un fiesta en mis pantalones con pollos.
And that's just, there's a party in my pants with chickens.
It's like, don't you know Donde está la biblioteca?
I don't memorize the song, no.
No, that's like the basic Spanish thing that you learn.
Oh, I thought you were doing the community Spanish.
No, but that's why it's in the community thing, because okay, it's like the first sentence everybody learns in Spanish is, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Yeah, I'm not good with languages.
Okay, well.
And yet I'm a writer.
Excuse-moi.
English?
Carry on, my wayward son.
What else do we have?
Well, I mean, we can go on and, like, talk about in Survivor Series was, and, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, like, oh, the big exciting thing is Roman Reigns might be getting a push out of that.
Yeah.
Because he's pushing everybody else in their tummy.
Oh, God, we about lost our, we about got an explicit tag. Frey. Yes,
isn't that what happened?
It is, but I think you're probably the only person that worded it like that. He's getting a push by pushing other people in his tummy.
In their tummy, not with his tummy. Well,
God, you're making my brain melt. And I was about to sit here and talk about how much I really like Roman Reigns right now, and now I don't want to because I don't want to encourage this behavior of yours.
I like Roman Reigns too.
I do. But word it better.
Okay.
Word it so he doesn't sound like a freaking Teletubby. Or the Pillsbury Doughboy. Or the finger that pokes the Pillsbury Doughboy. That's what it sounds like.
Because it's a spear. Roman Reigns was amazing.
He easily was the MVP. Probably of the entire pay-per-view.
Yes, of the entire pay-per-view. And no questions.
Yeah.
He took the pay-per-view.
As much as we love seeing CM Punk and Daniel Bryan team up, this was incredibly impressive and almost seemingly coming out of nowhere.
Yes.
It was a very pleasant surprise, and it shouldn't have been because we know Roman Reigns
but we also know WWE.
Right. We weren't expecting him to be that dominant.
Exactly.
At the match, and it was a great way to start the pay-per-view. Now, mm-hmm. if only the rest of the pay-per-view kind of followed suit, then we wouldn't be so, you know, angry right now. But they're not, and we are.
Well, honestly, the thing is, the all the big news happened the next night with the unification.
Yeah.
And it kind of null and voided everything in front of it.
How great, though, was that CM Punk spear on Raw the next night?
Oh.
The one that was lined up with the camera, and he mm-hmm. came from where the camera was shooting at?
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
No, he's the guy can spear.
He can spear. He is easily the best spearer.
Yes,
in the company right now.
He looks like he breaks people.
He does. Like, he looks like what Edge in his younger years looked like when he speared people. Mm-hmm. Like, completely. I mean, of course, you know, as he got older, you know, he couldn't move around as much, and you know, he couldn't fully commit as he would probably want to.
Right.
Roman Reigns is fully committing, and it's terrifying.
Yes, it is.
And incredibly impressive at the same time. And not just the spear. Like, you know, he still looks great in the ring with everything else. Yeah. So, I think it's kind of, like, breathe new life in the Shield right now.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, like, because we were like, you know, it's been a year. We're always talking about, you know, maybe they're going to break up soon, blah, blah, blah.
But I don't need that right now.
I don't need that at all. Like, now it's like, okay, this feels a little fresh now, even though they've been together for a year.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like it's kind of rejuvenated.
For so long, it's been Dean Ambrose and his buddies.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the kind of thing where, and
for
like,
a while, you know, Seth, he shone a little bit. Roman, he was always there, and he was always still impressive. But the ones getting the really good matches against, like, Daniel Bryan and stuff were either Seth or Dean.
Were Seth and Dean. And because Dean had the mic skills. And because Dean was the thing that the internet wanted for so long.
Yes.
It was so much Dean and his buddies.
Yeah.
So, but this with Roman Reigns and with Seth Rollins slowly over the year kind of building.
Yeah.
You know, this thing. It very much, the Shield can right now work as a cohesive three-man unit.
Yeah.
That, you know. Honestly, like, I hope CM Punk loses at TLC. And that is not a thing I say easily.
No, but you still know it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know what they have up their sleeve. Like, you know, I know we'll talk about this more next week in our pre-TLC show, but yeah, like, I know it's 3-on-1, and that should make me just completely roll my eyes and whatever, but I have a feeling that this match could be really interesting. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I
am intrigued to see what will happen.
I think it would be interesting if something happens to force Daniel Bryan and CM Punk to choose sides and join with the guys that they're facing, so it's now 4-on-4.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be interesting.
Okay.
But I don't know who turned face or who turned heel.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff they could do.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's... When you have that many talented guys involved in stuff like this, there's a billion different things you can go with. I just hope that they give them something decent and they're not just throwing them around, you know, just to be throwing them around.
Right.
I do kind of think that it's good that it seems like WWE's kind of acknowledging that they kind of made a mistake taking Daniel Bryan out of the championship situation. Like, just from what I heard from spoilers that, you know, Daniel Bryan, he I don't know if he directly addresses it, but he alludes to it. Again, I'm not going to watch SmackDown, so. But it's interesting that that is happening, you know. Because they pretty much admitted that, you know, putting in Big Show in the main event against Randy Orton was kind of a mistake.
Yeah.
And the real story was Big Show and Triple H. That's probably what should have happened.
Yeah.
You know, the match wasn't going to be great, but it would have made sense.
But it would have ended the feud the way that we were... That
expecting it to, and it would have been a satisfactory end, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was something else that I was going to say, but I can't remember it, so we can move on.
Move on, then.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of all...
That's kind of it. I'm digging Xavier Woods.
I'm digging. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the
and
new...
If he leads to the tons of funk breaking up, I might fall in love with the guy.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So. Yeah, we talked about Miz randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that. We got that. What else is on the checklist?
That's it.
Oh, I don't know.
That's it, Chris. We've talked about all the wrestling that there is.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack! Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your alright, this comes from our friend Neil, who asks us a very simple question, but it gives us an entire paragraph to get to this question. So, I could be a good showman and just read that simple question. But I'm not, because I'm not professional. Up-and-comer crowd favorite Daniel Bryan is being replaced by the same old boo John Cena. The Shield wandering off to some other storyline. Big Show being moved from an interesting side show to a boring main event. Kane getting added for no obvious reason. Orton goes from being a cold-blooded enforcer to the same old, angry, entitled brat. And Triple H and Steph going from being schemers to having no obvious motivation or plan. And the question is, why did the Authority storyline go from being so promising to so predictable all at once?
Because WWE is a publicly traded company, and they have to show growth on a quarterly basis.
And it's the, I mean, that's the unsexy, kind of ugly answer to it, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it's...
It is. And I mean, you know, to be honest with you, the biggest thing from that storyline that's churned is they took Daniel Bryan out.
Yeah.
That's where all the, that's where the heat, the sizzle of this entire story was coming from. He was the energy source to this story. They took it out and they tried to fill it with a giant Big Show. Well, it didn't quite work.
Well, so much of this area, this time frame, is this like feeling of change with Cena has to leave. Cena, who's been there every single week for years, can't be there for a few months.
The catalyst and creation of the story is Daniel Bryan.
The fact that we know both backstage and on the screen, you know, the keys to the kingdom are slowly being handed to Triple H.
Yeah.
You know, and to Stephanie. And that will, you know, and we have always said, you know, Vince will probably have his thumb in that pie until the day he dies, but, you know, this is slowly happening. So we're all expecting this change, and we're all, and that's where all the promise of that storyline comes from. It's something new, something different, some change, and that fear and that threat of, you know, maybe it'll be worse, and the second that stuff isn't immediately showing promise, you know, the second that they can stick some status quo back in there, they have.
Right.
And then, you know, there's stuff like wherever the Authority storyline was going, you know, they started off in a direction, I don't know how much they knew they're going, but stuff changed, and they still have the Authority there, but I think it's kind of a lot more up in the air.
Yeah, there's no clear direction, as Neil put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think it's the big change in this whole thing has to be when Daniel Bryan left, because, like I said, the origins of the story is Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know, he's the catalyst for it. He's what began it. He is, you know, he was the crowd reaction, you know. He was the power source, and they replaced... It's like you're taking a AAA battery out and trying to replace it with, you know, a small like watch type battery.
Well, no, you're taking the little tiny AAA, which represents Daniel Bryan, and then you need like a D cell for Big Show.
Well, fair enough. Fine, but in this case, Daniel Bryan was a bigger source of energy.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking like he would be, in that case, Daniel Bryan would be the D cell.
Uh huh.
And Big Show would be the battery.
Okay.
Whatever those batteries are called.
I don't know. Little circle battery.
The little circle batteries that you put in your watch.
Alright.
So I think that's where it goes. And yeah, they reverted back to status quo, what they've always done, what's safe for them.
Because they could, because they weren't forced for new stuff.
Because they have creative ownership of it.
Yeah.
that's the smart aleck answer, I guess. Moving on, our buddy Blair, he asked, bad news Barrett, great re-debut or the greatest re-debut?
So,
I'm going to go ahead and just say it was a great re-debut, but I'm so in the tank for Bray Wyatt, so I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say it's the greatest.
Honestly, I'll still give greatest re-debut in like recent memory. I will give it to Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Because it was so out of nowhere.
To this day, I can still feel the slack apropos of nothing, and it's, and completely disregard of that his character went nowhere after the fact, but that re-debut moment was so out of left field. Mm-hmm. It took you by such surprise. Yeah, I was more surprised with that they actually did Bad News Barrett.
The thing,
like, they're taking a side joke from a 5-minute weekly YouTube show and making it his gimmick.
Well, the thing is, like, I really gotta believe that, you know, That was before it made it even to the YouTube thing. That was like a running joke backstage at some point. We're like, I don't know, probably Wade Barrett said two bad news things in a row and just like, you know, locker room sort of attitude. Atmosphere is like, always with the bad news, Barrett. Yeah. And it's like, oh, alliteration. We can latch onto this stupid joke forever. Right. And it has evolved. And because there is this stupid side YouTube middle ground possibility now, these behind the scene jokes, which honestly I have no proof that this was one of those, but it really feels like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That can now kind of make the little jump step onto the YouTube joke thing that has now made it onto the main product.
Yeah.
So,
and
you know, as,
how is it any worse than what he's been doing in recent?
No, I mean, it's like, it's like, not like they're crushing this great, the Barrett Barrage thing that happened before that.
If someone can look me in the eye and tell me that the core is better than Bad News Barrett, then I'm fine with this. Because, you know, there's a lot worse that we've seen him be involved in. So. Yeah. And at the very least, I won't say it's saving his career, but it's prolonging it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? It's putting him on TV a little bit, you know, which was more than what we could say, you know, a few months ago.
So, I don't know. And always remember, John Cena was Vanilla Ice before he was serious.
That he was. So,
the silliest thing can lead to success.
It can.
So, you know what? Yeah, that's like...
Your move, Fandango.
Fair enough. All right. As always, follow us on Twitter. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a good time for all. At CR Attire, we live tweet all appropriate Mondays, which are all of them, and then Sundays as well.
We sure do. And if you're... if you would like to submit any questions, comments, anything you would like to like us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes, so look us up on iTunes. We'll be there. You can subscribe. You get all new episodes coming directly to you every single week. Go on.
You didn't?
Oh, yeah. And give us a rating of...
5 stars.
That's right. And a review would be great as well. All right. Now it is actually your turn.
Line.
Randy Orton, what's my line again?
And action. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. And we might use your comment. We might talk about your comment in the mail sack. While you're there, go check out all the great columns that are on there right now. I have a special column out this week that has gotten a lot of reaction to it. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. I don't care. But it is my official music review of Jeff Hardy's album.
His debut album?
I don't think so. I saw another one of his on iTunes.
Oh, really?
So, I don't know if it's his debut, but it's the one everyone knows about.
Okay.
All right. I won't give away the entire article, but I will say that his music is horrible. Hooray.
I liked it.
You listened to it?
I listened to the one song that you put on Facebook.
You listened to a single?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's literally the as good as it gets, and that song was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. That's the best thing on that album.
All right. And finally, the... weekly, the journey through the WrestleManias continues. You can get the latest WrestleMania episode by subscribing to us on iTunes. That is an iTunes exclusive thing. So look us up on iTunes for our WrestleMania rundowns.
5 stars!
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah!
Huzzah!